Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome, welcome. All right, it looks like we have a tiny little group so far, which is awesome. Tiny but mighty, right? Welcome, Emily. Welcome, Caitlin. We'll probably have more people popping in, which would be great. We are here for the Six Figure Biz Academy, and today we are going to, we're actually going to re-record one of the sessions from, oh gosh, I think it was back in June. It was a session that the recording got lost. So we're going to redo that today. I thought instead of doing that all by myself and just, kind of redoing it in a vacuum, I would invite everyone to come and we can talk through this as well as any other questions that you might have. So we're going to redo the June 10th meeting, which was all about referral partners, joint ventures, and strategic partnerships. So it is actually a really, really, I love this whole topic. So should be pretty full. I'm also in the process of, I think last time I had mentioned that I would be sharing with you. Hey, Caitlin, how are you? Good to see you. I think last time we met, I had mentioned that I was going to talk to you guys a little bit more about content creation and social media, right? And so, oops, I saw that I just froze. Okay, am I back? All right. That was weird. I'm on Ethernet too, so, because, everybody's using Zoom, like everybody. And Wi-Fi, definitely goes up and down. So I'm on Ethernet. So hopefully we don't have too many issues. But anyway, so I had mentioned last time that we were going to talk a little bit about social media as well. And so what I'm in the process of, oops, I'll turn this off. I'm in the process of updating a pretty in-depth guide. It's actually a series. It's in an Excel spreadsheet format. And it's really designed to help you with a content creation plan. All right. So I thought, instead of just jumping into social media, like that wouldn't make a ton of sense because really my goal for you guys is to create like what I call anchor content, which would be in the form, most of the time, it's usually in the form of a blog post. Your anchor content, it could be a newsletter, it could be a blog post, or maybe you like doing video, maybe you do a weekly live or something like that, and that is considered what I call your anchor content. So the idea with social media is not to just sit there staring at a blank screen and thinking, oh my gosh, I need to come up with 20 posts for the month of September, assuming you're posting, 5 times a week throughout the month, approximately 20-ish. So that to me, that strategy, it just doesn't make sense, to be honest with you. Instead, what I think makes tons more sense is way more, time efficient and strategic is to start by creating a calendar, like a content creation calendar, where you've got a monthly theme, right? So first we come up with a monthly theme, and then we break each month into, well, it depends on how many posts that you want to create each, or like how many blog posts or newsletters you want to generate in a month. But let's just say you're super motivated and you want to do 4 a month. So we would start by creating a theme for the month, and then 4 separate like themes or titles for each of your blog posts, right? And then from each of those blog posts, that's where we would extract hopefully 5 social media posts. So do you see how it's way more strategic rather than, oh my God, what do I do on social media, right? So I'm just putting the final touches. Now, Emily, you have probably seen this handout in one of our previous masterminds. So it's similar, but I spent some time today adding some additional information. So some of it is it'll be a little bit richer than the one that you've seen. So anyway, guys, I think what I'll do is I'm going to hopefully finish that today, and I'll share it. Gosh, we meet again actually tomorrow. So I'll share it, and you know, we can go through tomorrow's content. Tomorrow in the Six Figure Biz Academy is it's really exercise in mindset. So I'm going to go through some pretty cool specific mindset, I guess, exercises, processes that you can take yourself through that I think are super beneficial. And then we can segue into this this new handout or series of handouts that I created for you to help you to really clarify your content creation strategy. And then that, again, I think will really provide a lot of what you need for social media. Although I do realize that each platform is a little different, you know, and we can certainly spend some time talking about that as well. So with that bit of background, let's go ahead and first of all, I always like to hear from you. So anyone want to share any updates, any successes since we talked last time, anything going on that you'd be willing to share with the group? I'd love to hear from you. Nothing really. Oh, Emily, yay.
That's fine. So I actually posted my blog and I sent out my letter. So I did all the work, but now I actually released it to the public. So
that's good. Bravo. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. Okay. So you actually uploaded your blog and sent a newsletter.
Yes.
Awesome. And how did that feel?
Well, I just did the newsletter and the blog was released today. So,
good.
Very exciting that, you know, I had it all writing, but now I actually have shared it with people. So that, I think that's the hardest step. It's like pressing that live video button, for Facebook Live. So I was really happy with that. I got another client, which is good news.
Oh, fabulous. Tell us about the new client.
She's a referral from another physician, and we spoke briefly, and I went through like a mini version of the enrollment conversation with her.
Okay.
And she signed up right away without hesitation. So she was kind of going through the enrollment conversation on her own, and I didn't really have to ask her too many questions. She was just kind of sharing things with me, and so that's why it was kind of a mini enrollment conversation, because she was just naturally kind of taking me through the paces herself. So that was easy, but I'm really excited to work with her. So that's exciting news. I can't hear you. I don't know if it's me or if it's you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
You know, I always try to use these AirPods, and it's like every week, same issue. All right, but it seems like the quality of sound is decent, so I'm not going to worry about using those. Okay, so awesome. So you, I think we had talked at one point before, Emily, and you were finding it. Yeah, it felt a little challenging to get people to, you know, open up. How's that going?
Well, this one was pretty easy because she opened up on her own. Am I getting just feedback myself, or are you getting feedback? I want to make sure I'm not.
Oh, I'm not getting feedback, but is anybody else?
No. Okay, good. I wanted to make sure it was not a problem for everyone else.
Okay.
So this one was relatively easy. The other enrollment conversation that I had also was a success, except for the fact that she hasn't gotten back to me. So I can't really count that as a success. I was going to talk to you about that tomorrow.
Okay.
But She was very enthusiastic and was ready to go. And then she wanted her husband to do it with her. And so then we did a follow-up call the next day, and he seemed like he wasn't very interested in the program himself. So I think maybe that's part of the problem, is that she wants to do it together as a couple, and maybe he's not on board.
Okay.
But I've only had two experiences so far since we spoke. So, but both of them seem to be okay. I think that kind of what we talked about in terms of explaining the process of what I was going to go through a little bit more was better, because it didn't shock them in terms of some of the questions that I was asking them, because I think sometimes they're expecting food related questions. And so I think that helped as well.
Okay, good. Okay, so you got one new client, and that was relatively, you know, pretty streamlined in terms of getting her in. Is this an IBS client?
It's colitis and other autoimmune conditions.
Oh, okay, perfect. That's your...
And no discount.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
No incentive, no discount, just straight.
All right. I love it. Okay. You needed that. I'm really, really happy. Like, you know, someone that's just ready to go. Right. And you know, in terms of that enrollment conversation, you know, really flowing without that sense of, why are you asking me these things? Like, why aren't you just asking me about, you know, my medical history and my nutrition and things like that? So really good to hear. Bravo. So you got lots of good stuff going on.
Yes.
Great. And, you know, when we talk about content creation, Emily probably could shine some light on how that was for her as well. So what I, you know, the big takeaway is that it's not as difficult once you really set your mind to it, right? And I think, you know, and I'm speaking for Emily, please chime in, but it seems like once we came up with four topics for the month, it just really just took off from there. Like, maybe that was, at least in terms of getting started, the most challenging part.
I really think the turning point for me too was your form.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. That's right.
I just was so overwhelmed. I wanted to write research articles and I didn't know. Okay. And I had so many ideas and okay. I think that's why I just never did it. And then I saw your form and it was so simplistic and okay. I love to plan. And so it just made so much sense to me. And then that's when I just started to fill in all the little boxes. And I did it really quickly. One day, and then we kind of we went through together, which was really helpful. Some of those ideas for the month of September, and it took very little time.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for reminding me, because that was the kind of my inspiration for revisiting this form that was so helpful for Emily, and you know, just kind of adding a little background. I'll commit to finishing that up. It's almost done. And I will, I'll share that with you tomorrow. So we'll do some of that, you know, mindset work, and then we'll squeeze in, you know, that content creation plan. I think that'll be super helpful. Well, bravo. Thanks for sharing. That's really good. We can certainly troubleshoot, this, you know, kind of that person that didn't call back, or we can talk about that tomorrow. Either way,
we can troubleshoot that. That's fine. I'm happy to do that.
Awesome. Yeah, let's do that, because you know it is it can be frustrating when companies invest your time in talking with someone and then they just kind of disappear. So give me an overview on, you know, how you left it. It sounds like she wanted to talk to her husband because she wanted him on board. Mm-hmm. Did you have a time set up to have that follow-up? Okay.
So we had the time set up for the next day, the next morning. She wanted to do it. And so I met with her the next morning, and her husband was actually on the call too. And I tried to answer questions. He didn't have any questions. So I tried to, you know, engage him in a conversation. He wasn't really that engaged. That's why I got the feeling that he wasn't interested in participating in this program. And so then I, you know, reviewed how I would work with her and how I'd help them She said, I'll get back to you in a week. She said, we haven't really had a time to really talk about it in detail. I'll get back to you within the week. Well, it's been like a week and a half now. So I'm just giving her some time. And also was going to talk to you about which strategy. But the right after the phone call, they emailed me and they asked if I would give them a discount since they're working since I'd be working with both of them. And that had just, we had just come off the call where we were talking about, should you give a discount to family members or not? Okay. And so I was thinking to myself, well, I'm going to be working the same amount for the two of them, maybe even more because I'm going to be trying to kind of merge their two needs right. together into a family program. So I explained that to her in the email. And I told her I wouldn't be giving a discount. So that was, I know that was a big, leap of faith on my part that wouldn't, that might deter them, but I stuck to my guns and that's what I said. And she wrote back very quickly and said, we totally understand. We just thought we'd ask.
Okay.
And so kind of that was like the last communication. So maybe at that time I should have said to them, okay, I'll give you a discount if you decide within 24 hours. Maybe I should have given them that kind of incentive, right. But I didn't.
Okay. Well, there is something to be said for that decisive action discount, right? I think that generally speaking, it's like either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. You know what I mean? Because it's a little tricky to go back and say, oh, by the way, you know what I mean? So that's kind of I think that's what we're going to have to decide. Now, if you are thinking that, gosh, I want to sell my program at that higher level, right? Like that other lady that you're describing, like no discount. Then what we do is we say, okay, that's your decisive action discount price. You know what I'm saying? That higher number, if you want to consistently offer an incentive just to entice people to decide, right?
What if I went back and created an incentive that wasn't a discount since I can't go back now and say,
right. It'd be okay. Awesome. Yeah.
I'll give you a certain percentage off because you haven't said yes yet.
Yeah.
What if I get offer them like something else?
Yeah, I think you could. You could say, I would try to get her on the phone though. I think it'd be kind of challenging to email this back and forth. I would say, I would text her, email and say, I got to thinking about your situation and, I came up with an idea that I think will be a win-win. Can we grab a quick conversation? And then I would share, I would let her know that, I just wanted to share with you. I was thinking about, your request. And while I can't offer a discount, what I can do is do X instead. Okay. And just kind of see how that lands for her. It seems like her husband is not engaged. So the thing about this is, I think really where you have to go with this, if she's like, okay, let me talk to him again. Yeah, I think you're not going to get very far if that's the case. I would just really, I would talk to her about her goals. What does this mean to her? Like, it'd be great to do this as a couple. But you know that old saying, like you got to put your own oxygen mask on first. It's kind of like that, like you got to take care of yourself. And then, maybe he's just not ready. Like people are various stages of readiness to change. Maybe she needs to do it first.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, that's what I would talk to her about. Maybe we work on it just, the two of us, and then he might reap some benefits.
Exactly.
From lifestyle changes she's making. And that's basically like they're getting a two for one almost without working one-on-one with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it doesn't sound like he really wants that help. And You know, yeah, so that's the approach I would take. Do you have an idea as to what that bonus will be?
No.
Okay. Well, we could brainstorm.
I mean, I don't have like an ebook or anything that I can.
You know what it could, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, because it would cost. I mean, unless you could come up with something free, like that's ideal. Oh yeah. Ooh, good idea.
Oh,
Natalie.
thank you, Natalie. Yeah,
Awesome.
they're local, so I could do that.
Gosh, that's so good. Oh, so good. Thank you. Yeah, that's a great idea. That better than the idea I was going to think of, or
What were you?
I was
Did you have something?
Like the idea that I was thinking was maybe like, a couple of supplements to get her started, like a starter pack,
Okay.
just some kind of, basic supplements, or maybe, something along those lines.
Okay.
It would cost you, but you get the discount, and then maybe you'd have the benefit of her continuing to reorder. But I love the pantry makeover. Yeah, and actually I do agree, the virtual pantry makeover I think would even be better.
Yeah, less of my time and also safer for COVID for everyone.
Yeah. So point is, I would try to get her on the phone and just let her know you're really excited, you've been thinking about this, and you came up with an idea that you really think she's gonna like.
Okay.
Okay, awesome. And let us know what happens, and congratulations on getting your other client full price
Yes.
and getting the ball rolling with your newsletter and blog. That's so good.
Thank you.
Awesome. Love it. That's a great update. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and let's jump in to what we're going to talk about today. So, all right. So I think, oh, actually, your ideal week, let's start with that. That we kind of snuck into. I'm going to do a screen share. We snuck in a conversation on how to create your ideal week. I'm going to do, let's see, let me see, where's the screen share? So let's just touch on that. This will be, again, guys, this is total review. All right, share screen. All right, here we go. All right, do you remember when we talked about how to create your ideal week? I know it was really, really helpful for some of you. I remember Patty in particular, like this was absolutely monumental for her. So let's review it. I think it is, in terms of time management strategies, I gotta say it's probably the best approach that I personally have ever learned. So the whole idea here behind creating your ideal week is that in an ideal scenario, you are going to have like a set plan or like schedule for, never fails, guys. All right, you're going to have a set schedule or plan for each day of the week. It's what you're striving for. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. But the whole idea is that you start by making a list. You start by making a list of things that you know need to happen. Like we'll take Emily, for example, right? So Emily is now creating blog posts, as well as transitioning her blog posts, repurposing that content to create a newsletter. So she's going to need time to plan that content creation process, right? So I guess one question I would ask Emily is, how often do you want to do that? Do you want to do it, like get that calendar out and do some planning? Do you want to do it every month, every week, every quarter? What are you thinking there? Because the whole idea, guys, is that we need to take these things that we need to work into our calendar, and we need to plug it in someplace on our weekly ideal week template. So what do you think about that, Emily?
I'd rather do it every quarter.
Okay.
That way I can just do it all at one time and have a set of different things that are ready to just, you know, be posted.
Okay.
And then come back to, you know, and if I want to add something, I can add something as if times change.
Great. Okay. So you're going to plan that content creation calendar quarterly. And then when do you want to take that content and actually do your writing? Do you want to do that once a month?
Well, I was thinking I would just do it all like quarterly.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Unless you don't think that's recommended. That's
awesome. If you can do that, like that's super highly recommended. It's just, I love that idea. So, okay. And then, all right. So, and what you guys are going to see tomorrow, and I alluded to this earlier, is that you're going to take each of those posts and ideally you're going to extract about approximately 5 social media posts out of each blog post, right? You can pick the number, right? Like if you're like, oh, 5, no way, I'm not doing that. No problem. You can do 3, whatever number works for you. So then you're going to have to either delegate, right? Delegate that to somebody else to actually create those social media posts, or you're going to have to do it. So what, Emily, back to you, how do you want to handle that part in terms of creating the actual social media posts?
Yeah. Well,
you're not there yet.
Actually, I've been interviewing interns this week.
Oh, good. Okay.
For a virtual assistant position. So I think I would then probably delegate it to them to do, but let's say I don't have them.
Yeah. Okay.
I kind of just want to do it all at one time, but I don't know if I can do that with Instagram and LinkedIn, if I can set up a time for it to be released, if you can do it in advance. I think you might have to.
You can.
Oh, you can?
Okay. Yeah. So with Instagram, you can use an application called Later, mm-hmm. which is a lot of the those platforms don't communicate or aren't integrated with Instagram, but I know Later is one that works. I think LinkedIn is a lot easier. Like I think there's other options, I think including Later, but yeah. Okay. So basically
maybe it would be better to do it weekly just to have some time dedicated to it. So that way if I need to work on it or update something or respond to comments, I have a time in my week.
Ooh, good.
That I could do that. Okay. And then I could do everything else, kind of chunk it in one section quarterly, but then at least have time in my week to follow up if necessary.
I love that idea. Okay. So, all right. So what I'm hearing is that we need to set aside a little bit of time each week to either create the posts. That is, if you don't have an intern that can just look at the blog, and you can give her some guidance on what kind of posts you want. And hopefully he or she will be able to take it and run with it, right? Like that would be ideal. But you're still going to, you're going to want to kind of oversee it, check it out, look for, you know, and maybe even create it if, you know, depending on how things go with the intern. Okay. So you're going to want to pick a time each week, a little window of time that's allocated specifically for this purpose, right? So what do you think would work for you?
Well, Tuesdays and Thursdays are basically typically all patient days. So then I would want to probably do that like on a Wednesday.
Okay, great.
When I do a lot of my admin.
Fantastic. Okay. How much time would you allocate?
Oh, I think an hour.
Okay.
Do you think I need more time than that?
No, okay. I don't think you would. I really don't. I think you could do this pretty quickly.
Okay.
It depends. I mean, everyone's different, right? So, but I think you'll be able to extract, you know, a handful of social media posts every week and get those done. And you might need that. I don't know. You know,
maybe start with 2 hours. And then if I, once I get really savvy with it, then I can always.
I think, yeah, if you've got an intern, then for sure, you're not going to need more than an hour. But if you don't have an intern, you might need 90 minutes, you know, possibly. So, okay. So guys, the whole idea then is that you're making a list of these things that you, you know, you find yourself saying, oh, I don't have time to do that. Right. Cause they're like with marketing, we have to make time to work on the business with the, you know, marketing strategies and especially, you know, revenue generating strategies that we want to regularly work on in our business. So I would start by making, well, actually, here's where I would really start. I would start by blocking out time for meals, workouts, and sleep, self-care. Okay, so that's where I always start. And, you know, again, week by week, it could shift a little bit, but this is generally, we're trying to make it really streamlined. So every Monday you wake up and you're like, okay, I know exactly what, you know, Mondays are about. I know what, you know, what I'm going to work on, what the theme is for the day. And so you don't have to sit there and go, oh my gosh, I know I have so much to do, but I don't even know where to start. Like that's what we're trying to minimize. All right. So, okay. So like with the content creation, I think that was a great example of how to go about this. So I would start with self-care, sleep, meals, you know, things that you want to make sure that you have in your calendar to, you know, just so you feel your best, you're taking the time to take care of yourself first, I think is super important. And then I would say the next step is to carve out your client hours. So instead of being always available, don't recommend that at all. Instead, I highly recommend you carving out specific client hours, same time, every single week, same day, same times. And then I would make that list of the different tasks that you want to make sure that you squeeze into your calendar or your schedule every week, such as marketing activities. I've had some people who say, you know what, I really want to spend more time networking. And so every Wednesday, you know, like Wednesday's my networking day, right? My goal is to, you know, try to schedule, you know, a handful of Zoom conversations with potential referral partners or, you know, collaborators every Wednesday, right? So I'm going to block my schedule out, you know, every single Wednesday for that purpose, for networking. That's another example. I would also add email. So email is a really important thing to rein in. It's highly recommended that you check email on some kind of a schedule instead of just always constantly checking it. So decide how frequently you want to check email throughout the day and put that in this ideal week, right? If you're going to check it 3 times a day, just kind of ballpark the length of time and the different times throughout the day that you want to do it. What else? Email. Oh, returning phone calls. Okay. That might be another thing that you want to work into your day. Right? If you return phone calls, like when is that going to happen? What are some other things? Patient care, client care, you know, like different kind of administrative tasks. I would try to add a little bit of time to review your finances. I mean, that's super important. That's something that's really easy to put off, but super beneficial if you're reviewing it every week. Can anyone think of tasks that I may have forgotten to mention? Do you guys get the idea? It's really, really helpful to do this. So my hope is that you'll take the time. Now, the way that I laid this out is like each day of the week may have a theme. So you can see that, you know, that kind of that crystal blue color running across the top of this chart. And then down the side, you know, are also themes based on the time of day, right? So anyway, okay, so any questions on that? All right, looks like you guys are good to go on that. Okay, so let's move on. Let's see. Okay, so the next handout is, okay, so let's talk about how to generate referrals through the medical community. Okay, let's see, new share. All right. Okay, so this is a handout. Obviously, it goes into quite a bit of detail in terms of how you can approach different medical offices and actually other practitioners as well, right? Mostly physicians, but I would say this strategy would work, you know, for a variety of other practitioners. And on that note, I know I've mentioned this before, but I personally got a lot of traction by reaching out to therapists. So, you know, therapists I found, they do work with a huge variety of different types of patients or clients. There's a big overlap with gut health, obviously IBS, and what they treat is anxiety and depression, right? So they're and oh my gosh, you know, body image, weight management challenges, like they are seeing your ideal client most likely. So it's really just a matter of tapping into a handful of referral partners to really get your practice humming away, right? The big takeaway here that I want to emphasize is that this is all about creating relationships. It really is about creating it's about creating trust at the end of the day, you know? But if you're able to do that, if this practitioner or whoever it is that you're targeting, if you're able to create that sense of trust, I mean, it can really, really be a win-win. And one way to look at this process is just to remember that, you know, these, especially physicians, they do not have time. And I'm sure they must get so many questions about, you know, nutrition and lifestyle and supplements and, you know, diets, all these different things. We know they don't have that kind of training. They don't have the expertise, but they also do not have the time. And so they are thrilled if they can find a trusted referral source to send their patients to. And that person can very much be you. Okay. So that's the whole idea here. So, all right, so let's just take a peek at this handout. Really, as I look at the steps to really grooming a great referral partner, it starts by targeting the right practitioners. And what I mean, you know, just like you have an ideal client, I do think you've got ideal referral partners. I think the first thing is, you know, do they actually work with your target market? Right? So that's the first thing. Do you align philosophically? That's super helpful as well. Do they appreciate nutrition and its role in mitigating disease? Obviously, that's super helpful, right? You don't always know these things going in. Some of this, you know, you try to find out as much as you can, but you may not know right out of the gate until you know, either talk to that practitioner or, you know, to the office staff. So Okay, so we start with targeting the right practitioners. And one thing I want to mention too is sometimes the really busy ones, like the ones that have a ton of potential in terms of their ability to refer, sometimes are the hardest to actually penetrate in terms of getting into that office and making headway. So just keep that in mind, but the payback can be really significant. If you keep at it. Now, in terms of your mindset, I really want to emphasize, because here's what I hear a lot of times, like, oh, it's difficult. I feel like I have to sell myself. And the thing that I want to emphasize here is it's really not about you. It's not about you. It's really not about selling yourself or convincing them that you're worthy, right? So really want to encourage, if you find yourself thinking that, it's very understandable. However, I'm going to encourage a shift in your thinking. It's not about you. Of course, they want to know that you're qualified for sure. However, that comes later. What they really want to know is, how can you help me, you know? It's always about me. So you want to approach this more from the standpoint of, you know, how can you help them to be more successful? How can you make their lives easier? How can you help their patients be more successful? And that's really what it's about. So it's just an important, I think, a really important mindset difference. And, you know, they would love for you to become that trusted resource so that ultimately they can kind of be the hero, right? With a patient that's really struggling, they love to be able to make a great referral. So, so in terms of, and I already mentioned how it's super important to develop trust, the thing that I want to talk to you about is, so how do you actually get your foot in the door to make headway? Because it's, you know, even it's way different than when I wrote this, right? It's like, because with COVID, you can't just like walk into a doctor's office. So, I would be curious, like before I kind of roll into how to go about doing this, I'd love to pose the question back to you all. Have any of you had success in generating referrals in this day and age of COVID? And if so, how have you gone about doing that? I'd love to get a little bit of feedback on how you've gone about that. Anyone willing to share a little bit? If you have something to share, please feel free to just take yourselves off of mute, because when I'm on screen share, I can only see a small number of you at any time. Any comments? Anyone had, you know, any success penetrating physician offices without actually being able to show up?
This is Emily. I can share again. I just don't want to monopolize the.
Oh no, that'd be great. Go ahead.
Right, so I haven't had any new referrals. They've all been pre-COVID, but I do have new patients. And so I was thinking about reaching out and connecting with the physicians of those patients who I'm currently helping and talking to them about the current patient and then also, you know, potentially establishing a relationship with them that way. So that was my current plan. I haven't done it yet, so I don't know if it'll be successful, but that's what I was thinking about doing.
I love that idea. So basically what you're suggesting is taking a look at the physicians for your current clients, right? Mm-hmm. And reaching out and kind of going about it, you know, by saying that you've got a shared client or a shared patient and seeing if that gets you in.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, talking to them about that patient, and then I could kind of add in there, slide in the back through the back door, what else I do. So that's my
game. I love it. I think that, honestly, I think if I were to summarize like your lowest hanging fruit in terms of generating physician referrals, I definitely think it's that. It's just a matter of like how you go about doing it. I think that it's a great, it is definitely your lowest hang, because you've got a patient in common. So let me ask you, Emily, would you tell, let's come up with like step by step. All right. So I love the idea. How would you actually execute that? Do you have any ideas?
Well, I was just going to email them about a particular patient case to keep them updated as to how the patient's doing. Or okay. Like I have one right now that I can think of that I probably need to let them know the test results that came back and let them know next steps of their healthcare plan. I don't know. That's kind of what I was thinking about.
Yeah, I love it.
And then maybe setting up a time to chat with them about other ways that I could help them. But I think I would go through email first because I think that's just easier for them to engage through email, even though phone is probably always preferred.
Yeah. How do you get their email address? Is that readily available to you?
Through the patient.
Oh, okay. So the patient has the doctor's email?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's incredible. Maybe that's not 100%. If it's a functional medicine doctor, then yes, I have their email. Like a regular doctor, no, I've never had their email.
I can think of two people. The other people might communicate through a portal. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But at least two physicians that I could contact directly.
Okay. Excellent. Oh, that's good too. Okay.
Or reach out through their office and say who I introduce myself and say that I'd like to talk to the physician about this patient.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. So Deanna, I emailed my MD through a patient portal. It wasn't his actual email and I did not get a response. Okay. So through a patient portal.
Some doctors don't even check their patient portals on a regular basis. That's the problem. Sometimes they have hundreds of emails that they stack up and they just get overwhelmed by messages now and they don't respond. So that's the problem with at least my experience.
Yeah.
Even my own doctor, if I have a health issue, she admits that she's really poor at responding to patient portal comments.
So how do you get into the patient portal if you yourself are not the patient? Just wondering how that works.
No, you have to be a patient to be with the patient. I think. I don't know if anyone else has experience with this.
So Deanna, how were you able to get in through the patient portal? Were you an actual patient?
Yeah, so this was through my actual doctor, and I had called the office, and I can't remember quite what happened, but it was just kind of like they send their patient somewhere else, and he's not available, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And so I didn't get much help that way, and I can't remember if I left a message for him to call me or not. I made notes, though. But so then I went through the patient portal just to see and said, you know, I'm a patient and blah, 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 and that kind of stuff. So I haven't seen him very often. I checked there's a new doctor like last year for me. And my previous doctor, I thought, oh, maybe he's, you know, he moved. I thought maybe he moved someplace with a new doctor, but it looks like he's retired.
Okay. All right.
It was a place for me to start.
Yeah, I think it's a great place to start. And, you know, that actually brings me to another, what I consider low-hanging fruit, is certainly your clients' doctors and providers. And I would say if they have a therapist, like, oh my gosh, I would be all over that as well, right? If you know, and that may not be something that is like on your intake form per se, unless you're dealing with eating disorders, right? So, but if you happen to learn that they have a therapist, I mean, you wouldn't even have to if you reached out, you know, unless you have permission, obviously you can't talk about that specific patient. But I think even if you just reached out and said, you know, we share a patient, unfortunately, I can't talk, you know, I can't reveal details because I don't have permission, but I just wanted to, it made me think that, you know, since we do share a patient, maybe, you know, I'd love to learn more about what you do. I'd love, you know, would you be willing to jump on a quick Zoom call? You know, you can mention, because gosh, I find that I like to build my referral list as well. And that would include other, you know, other potential therapists that I can refer my clients to when they need one. Right. So anyway, so bottom line here is kind of looking at how to prioritize, because guys, you can't target everybody. It's just because this is so much about relationship building and building trust. So in terms of prioritizing, I would definitely go for like what Emily suggested, your clients or patients providers. However you can get in this day and age of COVID, obviously just prancing in like the old days probably isn't going to work out so well. You're going to have to be creative, maybe go through a portal, maybe go through, if you can find out their email, that would be great. Another possible avenue would be, you know, maybe going in online and figuring out who the office manager is. I would try to pull the office manager into this process as well. You know, email him or her directly and maybe start there. Like that would be a good place. So, and the other priority in addition to your clients' providers, I would say, are your own providers. Do you go, you know, like, do you have an acupuncturist that you go to? Do you have one that you know in your community? Chiropractors, like really think about your own providers that you have gone to over the years. I think that is also a great place to go. And this is a little bit outside of, you know, getting referrals through a practitioner, but also consider, you know, like, do you go to a yoga studio or, you know, a Pilates studio or something like that, where you could potentially, you know, generate referrals through that, you know, where you're already a patron, right? So that is, I think, super high priority as well. Looking at, you know, where do you already go? Where do you have relationships in your community? And then, let's see. So, all right. So I think that in this day and age of COVID, you're going to have to go about this in a more roundabout way than before COVID, right? So you're probably going to have to, you know, reach out through one of these other, you know, means that we've already discussed, maybe possibly LinkedIn. I have had clients that have had pretty good success in, you know, creating relationships, mutually beneficial relationships via LinkedIn. So that could be an option as well. You could call. You could definitely call and just ask to talk to the office manager. That would be, I think, that definitely could work. You know, phone numbers are pretty readily available, maybe more so than email addresses. Any other ideas that I may have missed? Anything that I didn't think of? Okay, so, you know, so the thing that I want to talk about briefly is the positioning. So once you can get in front of the office manager and or the actual provider, the physician or medical provider, the thing that's most important is just to remember that we, you know, you're really positioning yourself to be really helpful for that office and helping their patients be successful, right? So, you know, it could be that you acknowledge, you know, how busy they must be trying to, you know, answer all these questions and squeeze everything in. I would recommend that you integrate a little bit of your what do I do statement, you know, to help narrow down the scope of the clients that you prefer to see. And I think that's really important because, guys, ultimately what you're trying to do here is you want to really paint the picture of who that provider should refer to you. I do not recommend that you try to go for everybody because you're just not very memorable that way. I would try to get an agree, you know, have a conversation. Ultimately, here's really what you want to do. Okay. If you can get in front of that physician, what I find works really well is for, you know, do your what do I do statement. Here's, you know, a little bit about what I do. Talk about the problems you solve, the transformations that you help them to achieve. And then I would ask that provider, you know, I would try to get some feedback. You know, what kind of patients do you see in your practice that, you know, are struggling and could really use some, you know, some help from someone like myself? Where do you see, like, you know, where are the patients? Like, I would try to get them to talk in patient types. Okay. So instead of saying, you know, anyone with a beating heart, you know, and a wallet send to me that needs nutrition services, I wouldn't do that. I would try to get really specific, but I would not necessarily tell. Okay. I would say, you know, kind of, again, do your what do I do statement, but then I would probe, right? I would ask questions. Where do you see in your practice, you know, your patients really struggling, and what kind of patients do you see that would really benefit from, you know, getting some handholding and support from someone like myself? Get them to describe to you that patient type. Okay. And if you're like, if you specialize, let's say, you know, you specialize in autoimmune, maybe it's a specific autoimmune disorder that they're like, oh my gosh, I got to tell you, it's the people that are newly diagnosed with lupus. Every time that happens, you know, they need support. They're super, like, that's where I see the opportunity. I would take that and run with it. Okay. Or maybe it's the IBS client that has tried everything and just nothing is helping, right? Kind of like the, or like the more complicated, the more complex. So do you guys see what I'm saying? You're trying to get them to think in patient types. Maybe it's like the complex patient, right? That's got, you know, IBS, and they've got other comorbidities, right? Blood sugar issues, and they want to lose weight. I don't know. I'm just making that up. Okay. So whatever it is you want to ask, and then once they tell you, you basically then, what I think works really well is to acknowledge what you're hearing. Okay. You know, acknowledge the patient type. And then ask them, you know, would that be a good place for us to start? You know, how do you feel about, you could even ask them, you know, like based on your, you know, your client, your patient schedule today, are there a couple, two or three patients that you'd want to start with and just, you know, refer those couple of people to me and kind of use that as a jumping off point, right? So do you see how specific that is? I think it's really super helpful to just to recognize that they need to build the trust. And therefore, I do like to ask for, gosh, how about if we start there? Can you think of maybe two or three or a handful of, you know, of your patients that are struggling with X, Y, and Z that you'd like to send my way, just, you know, just to get the ball rolling? And if they say yes, then I would let them know, like, then you go, okay, so how can I make their job easier, right? How can I make this referral process easy? And that's where I would say something like, okay, great. So, you know, I'm curious, I have these referral pads or these referral sheets. Would that be helpful in terms of, you know, expediting that whole referral process? Something like that, I would ask, okay? And then, okay, so that, is everyone clear on that? How, you know, how you can have that conversation and really zero in on patient types? I think that is going to be the key. And then just getting them to agree to a, you know, a couple of patients, maybe two or three to start, and then you follow up, right? You follow up, and then the idea is you expand from there. Okay, so we've had great results, you know, these two or three people that we started with or patients, you know, you can give them an update. Then I would say, gosh, you know, where would you like to go next? You know, do you have more people in this particular, you know, this particular patient type that, you know, more patients that would benefit from one-on-one help with me? Or maybe there's another, you know, diagnosis or a patient type in your practice that, that you think is a good next step, right? So do you see how you're growing? So you're not asking for everything. You're asking for a little tiny piece of the pie. And then as you get success there, then you're going to grow from there. You're going to grow. You're either going to ask for more of that same patient type or you're going to add another patient type. Okay, so that's what I would recommend there. All right, so I do give a little, we've, in this group, we've talked about that insurance, that big insurance conundrum. You know, if you go to an office and they immediately say, oh, well, do you take insurance? So we've had a fair amount of conversation around how to handle that. I think, you know, and I believe Emily has mentioned how she has found, you know, how she addresses this pretty successfully. You know, the bottom line, guys, is it's, and if you take insurance, obviously you don't have to worry about this. If you don't take insurance, I really firmly believe it's once they understand that you don't get reimbursed in the same way that they do. Like, I think they're operating on a false pretense. They're assuming that you're just taking cash because, you know, and they don't really even understand why, probably. They're operating on the assumption that you get reimbursed the same way they do. Little do they probably know that very few diagnoses, of course, depending on the insurance policy, but few diagnoses are actually covered and for what we do. And furthermore, it doesn't cover anything in between. And that's really where a lot of the growth occurs in this kind of work, right? So are you guys feeling pretty good to go on the whole insurance thing, overcoming that? Okay. Guys are quiet today. Okay, good. All right, awesome. Natalie says yes. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I love the idea of, you know, educating the office and the staff. It's a little more difficult to do that because we can't just pop in and, you know, set up. I used to love to do in services with the actual office. I found that to be super helpful. You know, the nurses loved it. The office staff loved it. They get to know me. They get to learn. And it, you know, always resulted in developing a good relationship and referrals. It's just a little more challenging. So you have to be creative nowadays, right? I don't know. Maybe you could do it on a Zoom call, like do some kind of in-service on Zoom. I'm not sure how that would go over, but you just have to be creative. Yeah, right. So Natalie says, same here. I found in services very helpful, but not always easy to get in. Right. So what about now with COVID? Is it like next to impossible? Natalie?
I've done a few Zoom ones, but in general, it just doesn't have the same kind of effect. It works like if I'm doing a group like all dietitians, but when it's really the office manager, the nurse, the physician, the this, that has a better vibe, I feel like, when you're physically in the office, in my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agreed. Okay, so you've tried Zoom, and it's possible, but it doesn't always have the same effect.
It's harder because you can't quite see this, you know, if you have your slides up to present something, you're not seeing their faces exactly, or you're only seeing like you are right now, the three or the four. And so you're not getting the same kind of feedback to know you want to go deeper into this. You need to kind of switch subjects. You want to, you know.
Yeah.
But I definitely have found sometimes if you can weasel your way in there that you start to discuss something that they feel like, oh my gosh, this person's really knowledgeable. And then it opens their eyes and they start wanting to interact more.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So do you have any other ideas that I didn't mention, Natalie, that that would be helpful for everybody?
I feel like people are, I mean, it's just, it is hard, I think, right now with COVID. I generally have done presentations by being on speakers, task force, you know, bureaus and things. And then honestly, I find that once you have, I kind of take over like one at a time. And so once there's one physician who has gained trust, maybe because you've had a mutual patient that they've worked together with, and then they start like, hey, I have another person that that I think would be beneficial for you to work with. I have another person, and they start to kind of, you know, it's not tons, but it can kind of trickle down that once you can kind of show what that you're doing. Sometimes I find maybe asking, you know, would you be open to requesting the following labs for this patient? Here are the reasons why I think these labs would be beneficial. Here are the proactive responses that I would intend to implement if, you know, we found that these were low or high or whatever the case, you know, may be. And in some cases, needing to actually show research studies to support that. But again, I think it kind of is like, okay, wait, they kind of hold up a second just because they feel there's definitely not just opinions, but there's a lot of science and research. Mm-hmm. And it particularly, I mean, I work a lot with UCSF physicians. Everyone is 100%, 150% research evidence-based. So it can be kind of a slow process, but I've found that it's kind of winning one over at a time. Eventually you get a bigger, you know, a bigger group trusting you.
Oh, that's a great, great thing to mention. Yeah, definitely. And you build momentum, right? I love that idea of really, you know, if you can get in with one, then that person can influence the rest of the office, for sure. That's brilliant.
And honestly, like if you had, mostly if you can develop an amazing relationship with that patient and the patient improves, then they speak for you. I mean, I definitely have had doctors reach out to me saying, hey, what did you do exactly? Because this person responded amazingly to whatever, you know, to this. And then they just start, you know, like sending people and they even have other dietitians that are in right there, but they're like, no, I think this person needs more specific guidance. I'd like you to work with them. So just do great work, I think, with patients, and then the patients will kind of also help to kind of feed these different sources as well.
Okay. I love it. Yeah. So, guys, remember when we talked about, if physicians feel like their hands are tied and they can't refer to you because they've got, you know, in-house, nutritionists or, you know, whatever the case may be. It sounds like, well, I think we had that conversation at some point. I really think the key is to, again, identify a specific patient type, that most likely is going to be more complex, right? And maybe a little too complex for their in-house, nutritionist, right? So it sounds like that strategy has worked for you as well, Natalie, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay, good. I really appreciate that feedback. Super, super helpful. So, yeah, so I think bottom line, guys, is, you know, nowadays you just have to be a little bit more creative, probably a little bit more tenacious than even before. But again, I would really look at your sphere of opportunity and really prioritize, starting with your current, past or current patients or clients, their providers. And I would also look within your own, you know, your own provider group. And let's see if I've got anything else. Oh yeah, I know what I was going to say. So if you if you're in the cash model, the one thing I don't recommend, and I know this can be a little tricky, but if at all avoidable, I don't recommend that you go down the, I don't recommend that you share all your prices, right? I'll tell you, it just makes it tricky because once they know, they can't unknow that, right? They know, and it's just, it's difficult. So what tends to happen is the patient will say, well, how much, if she doesn't take insurance, you know, what does she charge? And then it's kind of like a little awkward because then the physician feels like they have to, you know, sell your services. So it's honestly just better if you don't, it's not like, I don't want you to feel like you're withholding, but it's just easier if you don't go there. Instead, I would just say, you know, you don't want to come across as being evasive, right? But at the same time, you want to, I would probably just say, you know, I've got a variety of, you know, programs, and it really depends on, you know, the patient's needs specifically. And then I would probably say, so what I can do is anyone that you refer to me, I'd be happy to offer that person, you know, a complimentary one-on-one consultation where we can, you know, really dig in and talk about their needs, talk about their challenges, get really clear on their goals, ascertain whether or not we're a good fit. And then I'll be in a good position to offer a solution, you know, in the form of a program or a package or something like that. So I do want to mention that. I was going to mention too, I don't know if this is not like, you could add a special page to your website for practitioners, for physicians and practitioners if you wanted. And, you know, you could talk a little bit on that page just about your referral process and, you know, maybe have a downloadable form or something like that. I don't know how likely it is that a physician would actually see that, but, you know, it's possible, right? Maybe like Natalie said, they have a patient and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, you're doing so great. Like, how did this happen? And the patient shares your name and contact info. And maybe the doctor's like, dang, I gotta find out more about this person. It's entirely possible that they go to your website and seek you out. So in that case, I think it would be helpful to have a practitioner tab that they could just, you know, read and, you know, learn more about you and potentially even download some kind of a referral form. All right. So now let's talk about, let's see. So let me go back. I think we have one more handout to discuss. Okay. Let's see. Let me go. All right, hang on. Let me log back into Simple Arrow. It appears that I know. Oh, actually, no. Here we go. Okay, found it. All right, so let's review. Oh, so I do have a referral partner tracking spreadsheet. And I just wanted to call your attention to this. It's an Excel form. It's in an Excel format. And the bottom line, you can use my form, you can create your own, but you are definitely going to want to keep track of each conversation you have with a potential referral partner and just like what you agreed on, and you know, maybe think about what the next steps are. So another thing that I forgot to mention is it is a really good idea to share like progress notes with the physician, right? I think that in of itself is going to keep you top of mind. So highly recommend that too. I don't know if that's on any of my handouts, but it's a really good thing to do. Okay, so now let's take a peek at this particular handout. Any questions so far? Anything coming up for you? Okay. Alrighty. So, we probably don't need to go through, we can go through some of it. This was actually an ebook that I had put together, and I just asked Lisa to upload that to share with you all. So it's called 10 Surefire Strategies to Get Referrals Now. So let's take a look. Okay, yeah, so this is, some of it's good. I don't want it to be redundant, but I did forget to mention. Let me be clear on this. This is generating referrals that include other practitioners, physicians, medical professionals, but also how to generate, you know, a solid referrals through your own practice, right? Through your own clients. So this is a bigger topic than what we just talked about. So, all right, so let's talk about that. Because ideally, right, you get these clients, they get great results. Sometimes we operate on the assumption that they're just going to refer other people to us, and that very well may happen. However, I would be a little bit more proactive. I would recommend that if you're, you know, when you're working with a client, and, you know, especially when they start to see the transformation, remember we've talked about getting testimonials and solidifying social proof. I would do that early in the process. I mean, early meaning, again, when they're getting transformation. So you don't have to wait until the very end to ask someone for a testimonial, okay? Super important. The same is true for you. I think you want to get in the habit, and I know it can be awkward, but I'm gonna help you through that awkwardness, all right, in terms of how do you ask clients for referrals. Bottom line is I think it's a good thing to do and something that you want to, like, how many of you do that? Probably not very many, right? Does anyone have that conversation with potential, or not with potential, with your current clients? Probably not. It's not super common. Okay, so there's different ways you can do it. Well, one way that comes to my mind, that is not on this sheet. I just want to mention this. And I've seen someone do this really, really effectively, and it really felt authentic, super, super authentic. And basically what she did was she asked me as her client, this was a coach, she said to me, you know, something really authentic and pretty simple, like, you know, she just said, hey, you know what? Most of my practice is built on referrals. And, you know, I wondered if you have any people in your life that, you know, might benefit from getting some complimentary one-on-one time with me. I mean, it was really, really straightforward and simple. And she was really clear to say, you know, I'd take really good care of them. And I'd offer them, you know, a one-on-one consultation, no strings attached, just value, right? And if they wanted to learn more about my services, of course, I'd be happy to share. But she made it really clear that it was, you know, the purpose was really to help, and it made me feel comfortable that she wasn't going to like push my friend, you know what I mean? It wasn't going to be pushy. I thought it was so authentic and easy, and I was like, okay, you know, I actually can maybe think of a couple people, right? So absolutely, you could do that, right? Like just say, hey, I'd love to offer, you know, do you happen to have any, you know, friends, family, relatives, colleagues, anyone that you can think of that you think would benefit from some complimentary one-on-one time with me? That's it. You know, there, then you can schedule a strategy session. So that's one idea. Or you could be more direct and you could literally ask, and number one is ask early. So again, going back to when people are actually getting results, you could let them know that, you know, much of your practice is really based on referrals. And the key to this is that, you know, you want to ask early. You don't, again, don't wait until they're like done and gone. Cause then it, I think it really feels awkward, right? Then you got to circle back around. So just to make it, really feel more authentic, I would try to get in the habit of asking, you know, relatively early in the process. And the key to being successful is to be really specific in your ask, right? So, and I gave you an example here in terms of language. So what you can see that I wrote in this ebook was, for example, Jane, I wonder if you know any other successful women, all, you know, maybe they're also pulled in a million directions, just like you are, who are also suffering from fatigue, poor digestion, and just an overall lack of energy. You know, it's so common nowadays. Would you be willing to think of maybe a couple, one or two people in your life that might fit that description? I'd really like to talk to them to see how I can help. You know, something as simple as that. So it's a little bit more direct than saying, you know, hey, I'd like to offer, you know, some complimentary one-on-one time. Guys, if you're not, if you're wanting to get practice at doing these conversations, personally, I think the first option is a great way to go. You know, you're just wanting to offer value and get practice at these enrollment conversations. Okay. All right. Now in your ask, you do want to focus on the benefits and the outcomes. Okay. Cause that is really what people, they get excited about. All right. So you want to focus on the benefits and the outcomes. And really, I think it's also super helpful to share your why, you know, why this is, you know, why you're so inspired to help people in this area. And then the other thing that I would say is important is be clear on what you're asking for, right? So what is your ask? Are you asking for an introduction? Like how are you going to leave this? So let's say, like, yeah, so I'd be happy to maybe think about a couple, you know, try to come up with a couple people. I can think of maybe a couple right now, right? So you just want to, like, so what do you want them to do? Do you want your friend or your client to maybe send an email introduction? Like, that would be great. I actually think that would be a really good way to go. But my point here is that you want to be super specific and very clear on exactly what you're asking for. Because if you're not sure, they're sure as heck not going to be sure what you're asking for. Okay. So maybe you're wanting to, your friend or your client to facilitate an introduction, for example. I do think it can be helpful to provide like pre-written marketing materials. Right. So, you know, so let's say your client has a couple people that she thinks could be a good fit. instead of kind of relying on her to describe what you do in a powerful way, ideally, maybe you would share, like, I don't know, maybe you've got an online brochure, or you've got, you know, like, there's a bunch of different ways, or even a pre-written description of how you help people. Bottom line is, you want to think about, without being over controlling, you just want to think about how you're being portrayed, right? So any kind of pre-written material, or, you know, something that you can have your client share with his or her friends or family, I think is helpful. Guys, we have talked so much about case studies in the form of, or testimonials in the form of case studies. So really, you know, I just want to encourage you. Like, this is just, I cannot even begin to tell you how helpful it is. So just make sure that you're asking. Don't be shy. Just ask. Ask people if they'd be willing to share a little bit about their experience in working with you. It is so incredibly inspiring for other people. And then number six, like, this one you kind of have to think about. You know, if you want to incentivize people for sending you referrals, probably in the medical world, I would say not so much. But if you, you know, even in the form of a card, I think a card is fantastic. Like a handwritten card, that's really all you need. If you want to go above and beyond, you know, maybe, I don't know, a Whole Foods gift card, or, you know, something like that, just to say thank you, that would be fine. Yeah, and okay, so some of these, so who do you ask? I think you ask the clients that have been successful, right? Definitely. Okay, I think the rest is pretty self-explanatory. So I do want to, I'm going to go out of screen share, and I want to open it up. We have a couple minutes. It's a miracle that we're not running way over. What questions do you have? How do you feel about, you know, this? Yeah, Emily.
I just posed a question to you actually in the group chat, because the client that we talked about earlier replied to my email and said that she doesn't have time to chat because she's taking care of her mom who just had surgery and her child who's online school. So would you recommend that I provide the offer via email, or she said also that she's going to meet with you just to rule out anything really serious before she starts with nutrition. So would you say?
Wow. So here's what I'm reading. I'm sensing that she wants to go see her GI first, mm-hmm. right? Don't you get that sense? Mm-hmm. She's going to be ready to start. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Let me think. What would I do? Well, like that bonus, would you position that as like, if we wrap up decision-making by X date, I'll, you know, throw in this bonus? Or is it just a bonus that she gets instead of that discount?
Yeah, I mean, I could email her and say that I understand she has a lot going on right now with her mom and her kids, and it could be hard to commit to something, but I could make it easier to commit by doing, I wouldn't say it that way, but, you know, I could make it easier to her commit by disclosing the bonus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's your gut telling you?
That she's not ready.
Yeah. Mine is too. Let's see. So Deanna, when you left a message. Oh, okay. That's a different question. Okay. Yeah. We'll circle back around to you, Deanna. So my gut feeling, no pun intended, right, is that she wants to go see her gastro first.
Yeah, I agree with Natalie.
So, did Natalie? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'll just respond to her and, you know, show empathy, and then I'll just say, you know, let's talk to your GI first, and then we can discuss what would be the best option for you based on the results of with your GI consult.
Okay. And then I think I would dangle, but not tell her what that bonus is.
Okay. How would you dangle it?
I would say, so I think what I would do, well, first of all, I would ask her like when she's planning to see the gastro. Mm-hmm. I would see if we could put a date in the calendar.
Oh, I lost you. I can't hear you.